Want to know an easy way to save some money? Lower the interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. Get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with autopay. Loans from $5,000 to $100,000. Choose your funding date as soon as today. The great thing about Lightstream is the simplicity of the home screen and how easy it is to find your rate without giving up all of your personal information. No questions about your third pet's name or what your grandmother's social security number is. Just input what kind of loan you're looking for, the loan amount and terms and months, and boom, there is your rate right on the screen. It takes minutes to apply and have your money as soon as today. My listeners get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/FFB. LIGHTSTREAM.com/FFB. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information.
Week in, week out, and we're all doing this streaming thing now. I mean, it's all the rage. Bieber is interesting. Baby, 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 oh.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hello, welcome. It is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. It's Monday, a new week. Awesome. Got some baseball ahead. It's a very busy week. Very exciting. Different voice off the top. Hi. Yeah, you know me. I'm Tristan. I'm the silly guy. But I'm joined today by AJ Mass. He's filling in for Eric Carabel this week. AJ, welcome.
Oh, if I'm filling for Eric, can I be the grumpy guy?
Well, we're all happy here. Come on. The H, the J stands for happy.
It's not going to change. The Phillies aren't going to win. Blah, blah, blah. Rodney, blah.
Oh, I understand after yesterday, after that game. Oh, man. And you know, the disappointing thing to me is I started Sir Anthony Dominguez in a couple of leagues, so that just kills me. Ah, well, what are you going to do? It's baseball. Anyway, let's welcome everybody in. Kyle Soppe, of course, helping us with the research. And, you know, I got to point this out because, like, right before we started taping this show, I'm already getting smack talk from our pinch hit editorial watchdog, Keith Lipscomb. He's reminding me about, like, some team that I watched that lost. Keith, just not right. Not right.
Yeah, I'm just doing what Leo would do. I'm really not. This is not really what I'm about. I'm a very gentle man.
So you're a pinch Rays fan too today. So we got it all covered.
You know how much he loves Jake Bowers.
Yeah, Jake Bowers is looking all right. I'm telling you, that guy's going to hit for more power than you think he does. Anthony Colotta, you're behind the glass pushing all the buttons, making all this stuff happen. And let's keep Anthony busy right off the top. We'll get right into the news. It's the buzz. Lots to talk about. AJ, come on. We got to start positively here. Positive thoughts. There are two pitchers who were drafted very highly in the preseason who are back. Or are they? I don't know. Clayton Kershaw, the number one starting pitcher, drafted in ADP in the preseason, came back unexpectedly against the Mets, I think it was, and didn't pitch all that great. But, you know, he was on a 55-pitch count in this game. Did all right at the very beginning, but the final line wasn't all that impressive. Kind of an abbreviated outing, but he was expected to do this during a rehab stint and then make his return this coming Thursday. But the important thing here for fantasy is that Kershaw is back. Or is he?
Oh, no, he's back, absolutely. I mean, what's the difference between facing the Mets in a AAA lineup? It's all good. It's the same thing. You know, he got his pitches in, and that's the most important thing about it. He did not leave the game and say, oh, my back is tight. Oh, you know, my arms are going to fall off. Just take it as this was an outing for him to just shake some of the rust off. He didn't destroy your stats if you started him. I probably wouldn't have started him knowing that he was on the pitch count. But, you know, I've shot him way back up my rankings. He's my number three starting pitcher the rest of the way. I have no issues here. Clayton is going to Clayton until he gets hurt. And, you know, at that point, you disable him again. But while he's in from this point forward, I'm fully confident he'll do what he does.
Now, that was in a points league context, the number three ranking there. Do you feel as optimistic in a roto if you were to step on that side of the line?
Well, again, because, you know, you have these roto, the wins are so important because it's such a percentage of your final score. You know, 25% of your value as a starting pitcher is wins. And that's something that he really can't control. I mean, the way the Dodgers are hitting, perhaps he doesn't have to do so much. But, yeah, I don't really have a problem. Maybe it would be number three in a strict roto standpoint, but certainly top 10, absolutely.
Yeah, he's definitely top 10 for me, too. The final line on this one, three innings, five hits, two earned runs. Considering the matchup, that's not all that great. But yes, as you said, AJ, I mean, it was well publicized that he was going to be on a very limited pitch count. This was not intended to happen at the major league level, so I'd consider it a promising sign he came back. Had him ninth before he was activated. At this point, I'd say he's on the fringe of me of that that big three, getting back into it as a top four class. I have a little bit of concerns here, like I would for the guys who I've ranked between fourth and ninth. But, you know, it's a positive sign, so we'll hope this continues going forward. Another one drafted early. He was the fifth starting pitcher in the preseason before the point of his March 23 injury. This was Madison Bumgarner. Had a good game on Thursday since our last show. This was against the Padres. Eight innings, three hits, no earned runs, and nine strikeouts in this game. Bumgarner's had a couple of outings here now, and he's built up the pitch count. So what do you take away from this outing? I know it's the Padres, another light matchup, but are you all in on Bumgarner?
Well, I mean, I'm not as all in as I am with Kershaw, but I didn't see any reason to modify where I have him. I have him in my top 15. You know, he doesn't strike out as many hitters as the rest of the top 15, so that's probably the reason I have him so low on my list. But he also doesn't walk as many. So, you know, in terms of points leagues, you know, it's almost a wash, but, you know, the strikeout upside isn't there. And he still gives up a few too many home runs compared to his elite peers, so that's why he is where he is. But in terms of, you know, am I worried about him doing top 15 level starting the rest of the way? No, I'm not.
Now, it strikes me about the home run point. That's a good one because he's been over one per nine on the average in each of the years since 2016. The sample, of course, is very small this year, and it was half in 2017 what it was in 2016. But the other thing I'm going to throw into this conversation is just that the fastball velocity is a little bit lower so far. I'd like to see better. So I'd agree. I think there's reason for optimism here, but I'm not sure I'm completely all in. I feel like I want to rank this dude top 10 with confidence, think he's going to stay there the rest of the year. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like there's 12 guys who I'm feeling pretty good about, and he's in the back end of that one. Definitely a positive in that. So, AJ, what do you say to some trivia?
Oh, dear. Let's do it.
Let's get trivia. Trivia. A lighter time back in the day. That one was taped, huh? Oh, boy. I can't believe I did that with the falsetto. Anyway, the question for today, looking at our player raters past seven split, I've discovered that nine of the top 21 players using this split all play for teams that hail from the same state. Which one is it?
Well, you know, mathematically speaking, California would probably be the smart answer, but I will go Ohio.
Ooh, nicely done. Yes, Ohio is the answer, as the Cleveland Indians and the Cincinnati Reds have nine of the top 21 player rater spots in the past seven split. Very, very well done. And you know,
well, they haven't lost in that stretch either.
Exactly. That's the thing. And not only that, I think they both also won last Sunday, too. So we're looking at these teams haven't lost in 8 days. They both swept the week. Each of them took the all six games of their series. Granted, some of the matchups were favorable here. But, AJ, I think it's a good time to just start discussing two parts of these. The Reds offense, which I think has been pretty underrated, and the Indians starting pitching, who did this, pitched very well in the past week, despite the absence of Carlos Carrasco. And to bring up a couple of names in particular, the Reds, Billy Hamilton, the subject of our question of the day today, the Indians on their pitching side, Shane Bieber. And if there's any other names you would like to talk about from either of these two teams, please feel free. But to me, I think those are the two that are really trending upward.
Yeah, it's interesting because you get pitchers get hot, and we're very much in we're quick to jump on them because there are so few pitchers who are reliable week in, week out, and we're all doing this streaming thing now. I mean, it's all the rage. You know, Bieber is interesting, baby, 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 oh. I don't necessarily buy in just yet in terms of it. Again, he's kind of going to get you a strikeout per inning, perhaps, and I'm concerned a little bit about the walk total. But he's on the cusp of me really looking in his direction.
In Bieber's case, yeah, the guy had pinpoint control in the minors. I mean, it's been pretty good so far in the majors, I think, but it was pinpoint in the minors. And when we brought him up about a week ago on the show, we pointed out that this is a guy who could probably give up a lot of hits, that the hit rate is going to be more than 9 per 9. So there are going to be some tough days when he faces deeper lineups. But I think he's locked in for good. I don't know. We probably have an Indians fan here, maybe. An Indians and Rays fan who might have a little more insight to what's going on with the Indians rotation. I think Bieber's here to stay. How many starts do you give him the rest of the year? Let's say an over-under for him is 14 and a half.
Ooh. Might be about that. I really agree that he's here to stay as long as he continues to do what he's done. He's really pitched well. I think he might have been a little bit nervous his first couple starts, quite frankly. He just didn't look like the same guy that he was in the minors, but he's looked much better, and obviously his last start was great. But I do want to keep in mind that Tigers lineup is – I don't know. It doesn't really scare me too much.
On paper, you know that it actually does not look scary at all. And for some reason, the numbers are backing it up as kind of a middling matchup, which I can't explain it to you. I feel like it's a good matchup, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I was at the game yesterday, and it was one of those things. I'm looking at the lineup going, boy, just who are you worried about in this lineup? You know, I mean, if you're the most worried about, you know, Jamer Candelario, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not anything against him. I like him, actually. But, I mean, that shouldn't be the most feared hitter or one of the most feared hitters in the lineup. So I'm not trying to take anything away from Bieber, you know, as far as that particular matchup. He looked really good, and he was in control the whole time. I would think that he'll be a guy that should stay in there. Unless he flames out, I think they would like him to just stay in the rotation.
Second question on the Indians rotation, are Mike Clevenger's strikeouts back?
I mean, it might be too early to say that, but I'd like to think so. I mean, he's pitched well all season long, really. I mean, like, I know the strikeouts haven't been there, but that kid's impressive. I mean, I like the way he pitches. I like his approach. So I'd like to think that maybe he figured a little something out. He's pretty sharp, and he's got some good guys to learn from in that rotation. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's turned the corner on that, but I'd like to see him maybe I know it's two straight double-digit strikeout starts, but I'd like to see him maybe a couple more starts before I get too excited about the strikeouts being back. But I just think he's a good enough pitcher where I think it's going to work out in the long run. So I don't lack confidence in him at all.
And they'll get Carrasco back.
I think that it's the timing of his strikeout, the timing of the strike. I mean, he has been very consistent in terms of getting batters to swing and miss. Double digits in pretty much all but one start since April 21st. I mean, that's pretty darn consistent. So I think it's just pitch selection, I think he's getting a little bit better on, and it's knowing when to throw the right pitches, and I think that's more so the reason for his sudden surge in the strikeout totals than anything else. I think he's become a smarter pitcher.
AJ, with the Reds, I want to bring this into the points discussion, because when I look at the names who are performing here, with the exception of Eugenio Suarez, I don't think, and Joey Votto, obviously, we know the rep for him in points. I kind of just take that for granted, that we already know Joey Votto and who he is, put him aside. The rest of this lineup, I find that this, is there really some points league value to be gained here? I've always thought of this as a more roto-oriented team with the Jose Perazas, the Billy Hamiltons. Is there anything we might be missing in points, maybe a lesser value?
Well, you know, the thing with, especially a guy like Billy Hamilton, I mean, the reason that the roto value is always high with him is that he's going to give you such a strong stolen base total. I don't actually see that this year. He's actually taking stolen base attempts a lot fewer per plate appearance than ever before. You know, he's only really stealing once every 16 or so plate appearances, and that's not enough for a guy you're expecting to be a steals guy. It's really frustrating there. I mean, he's had a good week, but even so, he's gotten on base so much this week. I think his on base percentage is like close to 400 for the past 2 weeks, but he's only stolen four bases, and that's not enough. Four attempts, not counting the pinch running attempt, which, you know, he didn't get on base, or that they put him on base and said run. That's a different story. I think you need, for speed, you need different types of people. In terms of the Reds as a whole, I think, you know, the hits are coming in collection. And so that kind of helps, you know, kind of everyone kind of boosts each other. I think can go cold just as quickly. So I'm not really as high on the Reds long term outside of Votto and maybe Jesse Winker.
In Hamilton's case, yeah, I think he's got to be a contender for the steals crown in order to make that big impact. I think to your point there, he does have to get an elite number of steals. That's his value. It's always going to be his value. This week, it's a good schedule. So I feel like the trends at least continue to point up in the short term. We'll see long term. That's all I'm willing to say for him. I want to get into a couple of prospects here, AJ, with you. Some quick thoughts on three guys here who are in the news the past week. Eloy Jimenez of the White Sox. Who was promoted to AAA, did it his first home run over the weekend in AAA. He's played four games there, hitting .308 with a .976 OPS so far. Kyle Tucker as well of the Astros, also performing quite well in AAA. Some talk that he could make his debut with the Astros at some point this summer. .314 average, .891 OPS. He's got 10 homers, 13 steals, so he's filling all the categories. Jimenez and Tucker, ETAs for each.
Well, I mean, you know, the Astros... They don't need to call anybody up right now, obviously. So I think that, you know, in the past, you might have really looked at the Astros and said, well, this is, you know, organization is going to go young, and just bring them all up. They're not afraid to, but I just don't think there's a need to really bring anybody up and shake what's going on at the big league level. Certainly September, no question. If he's still hitting, like, you know, .380, .400 or something like that, you know, yeah, they'll bring him up for an extra bat once the rosters expand, but I wouldn't necessarily expect him before that, barring, you know, a couple of major injuries.
I'm thinking pretty close to that as well. I'd agree that I think it's going to be later, if it happens at all, during a point where it's going to help you in fantasy. And the same with Jimenez. I think unless the White Sox trade a couple of guys and clear up some spots, I don't think he's coming up before August 1st. I think it's August 1st at least for both, but I do think we'll see them. I think they'll be in regular roles. In Tucker's case, the reason why he catches my eye is just if the Astros did have one spot that struggled, as he said, or if they did have an injury, I do think he's going to be among the first guys called up now. So at least that's a big plus for him. Nick Senzel, not so much so, though. Lost for the season to season-ending finger surgery. He had a torn tendon in his right index finger, a real shame because he was starting to hit recently in AAA. If you're in a dynasty league, or AJ, I know your popular pronunciation of this one, would you keep him around? And let's just assume the traditional ones where you're not keeping a whole ton of players.
Well, you know, it's not a decision you have to make now in terms of protecting for next season. And, you know, if you're only keeping three or four players, then probably not. You know, I'm not going to keep them around just because you've probably got some guys who are studs now who you'd much rather keep in terms of someone who you don't know exactly how they're going to. I mean, he should be fine going forward, but you never know. You know, it could be a little bit of a slow start. And will he make the roster at the start of next season? You know, it's hard to tell before the spring. So if it's a long-term dynasty where you get to keep him forever and, you know, you have a roster spot, then absolutely you're holding on to them. But in terms of like immediate impact, you know, I'm not sure that he's the wisest protection at this point.
I just hope he doesn't have that whole service time delay at the beginning of next year when he comes back.
Well, you know, you factor that into it as well, certainly. Yep. But Eugenio Suarez is not the answer forever, you know.
I'm a Suarez fan. I do think he's got a definitive role for that team. It's just, do they move him to a different position? I don't know. We'll see. More bad news on the injury front. We do have to always get into these. Gary Sanchez suffered a groin strain.
I noticed how you delayed that as long as possible.
I got to delay the bad news, especially when it's a team I watch very closely. Suffered this while running to first in the 10th inning. Oh, extra innings on Sunday. That was such a painful series. You know, let's weep for the Yankees here, who finally got swept in a series. Austin Romine looking like he's going to be the Yankees' starting catcher. I do believe he'll play fairly regularly. Kyle Higashioka is going to be called up in order to be his backup. Romine, I think in a deeper league, there might be a little something to Romine. Is hitting a little bit better this year? He's getting a tiny bit more lift. His hard contact rate's up a little bit. Am I overreacting?
Well, certainly, if you're expecting on him to produce from this point forward, he's not going to do that because at some point we assume Sanchez will be back and then he'll go back into his, like, you know, backup role. But while he's in there, I think one of the things that I've noticed about Romine this year is that his eye at the plate is so much better than it used to be. He is not swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. He is, you know, walking at a much better clip. Just there's a patience there that wasn't there before. So I think definitely in the short term, if you're looking for someone to just sub in for Sanchez, or maybe even just, you know, your current catcher is just not doing well, for a 2-week stretch, yeah, you know, let's put him in there and see what he can do. I think he won't certainly hurt you in a way that some other catchers might.
Well said, AJ. Huge improvement in terms of the chase rate, 23%. Career number was 36. So he is, yes, much, much better. To me, he always...
And you would think a player that doesn't play as often would like be more anxious at the plate and looking to swing and make a bigger impact. So it's even more telling for a backup catcher to have improved in that regard.
Definitely. He did do that earlier in his career. I mean, the numbers were near 50% in a couple of those years as a part-timer when he was trying to prove himself. So, yeah, it's a big plus. Nice short-term value for him. If you're in a deeper league, I don't think about the standard ones. Let's do a quick ride on the closer carousel.
The Closer Carousel.
So I think the big story here, AJ, is Aroldis Vizcaíno of the Braves goes on the DL with right shoulder inflammation, and all indications initially were that AJ Minter and Dan Winkler, the guys who have been occupying the 7th and 8th innings lately, are going to share the save chances. And then on Sunday what happens is Winkler throws the eighth in what would have been an eventual save chance, but then that gets taken away by the Braves scoring some runs, and Minter was held for the 9th. If you look at the way these lineups broke down, it would have made more sense to me, lefty-lefty, to have Minter pitch the 8th. So is there anything telling there, or do you have a clear guy you want of these two?
I think Minter's probably the way to go, but it is going to be one of the situations where if neither one really takes a stranglehold of it, they'll probably bounce back and forth. Winkler had a chance on Friday and did not do the job, so I wasn't surprised that the next time around it was him in the 8th and Minter in the 9th. It's going to be a play-by-ear situation. I mean, once you have a closer who's kind of got the job on lockdown, and then you have to replace, isn't a guy, you know, if you didn't just trade for Kelvin Herrera and you can step in, you know, things like that, you know that the manager is definitely going to have to, see who he prefers, and it takes a while for that preference to come out. But I think Minter is going to be the one who gets it in the end.
I'd agree. I'd take him as well. I do think both need to be rostered in the larger leagues and the mixed ones. If I've got to take a chance on one, that's who it's going to be. Minter's control has been improving quite a bit lately. Baltimore. Oh, we always go to Baltimore with Zach Britton, who had a terrible game. I think it was Friday was the awful game. And then he bounces back with a save in the very next Orioles game. So... Your thoughts on Britton going forward, and I love to bring you into this because of the points league value in Britton's case. You know, that there's a little different approach to the saves there.
Yeah, well, certainly Britton, I don't think he has a lot of value in points leagues. I wouldn't even put him in my top 30 going forward because I think he's just going to be in the situation where the O's are going to showcase him regardless of how he does. So he's not going to be used in the sense that they're not going to try and protect him as much as they would if they were, you know, still in the running for something. They just want him out there to show that he's healthy, and he's going to keep being thrown out there until he's traded. And once he's traded, he's probably going to go to a team where he's not going to be the 9th inning guy. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, cut bait now while you can still get some value out of him, because he's not going to be on the Orioles. And while that may improve his overall value in the sense that he'll be on a better team with more wins share possibility, I don't think he's going to be in the save role. So, no.
Remarkably, I had the same reaction this past week, that it feels gut-wise like he's going to get traded and it's going to be into a setup role. I'm worried. I'm with you there. I do think you got to at least feel out what kind of offers you can get for him. I want to cover two other bullpens quickly here. We got some news on Toronto where Roberto Osuna, there was finally a ruling. He is suspended for 75 games, where that is going to be backdated retroactively for a few of them to early May. So he will be eligible to return in August, but that takes him out of the conversation of Toronto for the chunk of the season. Now, he's been missing for a while, so obviously Ryan Tepera has been filling in for the most part going forward. But does this change your opinion of Tepera going forward? Do you feel that he's a legitimate mixed league value?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Clippard is the only one on that roster who I think will get saves as well. And I think that's just going to be a usage kind of thing where, you know, you separate, or he pitches two straight days, he can't pitch third. I think that's where Clippard's going to, or, you know, you have a really long extra inning game. That never happens to Toronto. So, you know, I think those are the two with value, but I would certainly lean towards Ryan.
Tapera's had a greater than 25% K rate in each of the past 2 years, been very good in terms of the command. So, yeah, some sneaky value in there. Philadelphia, Sir Anthony Dominguez. If we were watching this game yesterday, and I hope everybody was, did not pitch particularly well. Not a great outing. Yeah, granted, first blown save for him, but, you know, he did have a pretty decent game on Saturday, had a clean ninth inning against Washington in that game, and he has some outstanding numbers for the season. Your opinion on the Phillies' bullpen and Dominguez himself, AJ?
Oh, he's been absolutely lights out, incredible for most of the year, and he's certainly impressive. I mean, yeah, he's faltered a little bit in June, but, you know, not every pitcher is going to be able to go through an entire season unscathed. It's certainly one that's inexperienced. Perhaps some teams might be getting a little bit of a book on him, especially if he pitches multiple days. You know, the Cubs were a team that, like, got him earlier this month after seeing him one day, and then he come back the next day. You know, maybe he's going to be a type of closer who you want to space out a little bit, you know, using the first and third game of the series. So, I mean, usage is going to come into play at some point. You know, even Washington, it was the second straight day that they capitalized on it. I don't know if he's the kind of guy whose stuff you want to use on back-to-back days, but on the first day, I mean, so far, no one's been able to, like, really take advantage of him.
I think the Phillies will pick up on that and probably make some adjustments accordingly going forward. What I like about him is that he's a starting pitcher-eligible player in a points league of mine, which, not a good week for him this past week, I get it. But I do think there's additional value when he's throwing those multiple innings, even if it's only two or three times a week. So we'll see going
forward.
Yeah,
you know, and there's one other situation that I want to bring up here. Sure. You know, as a Mets fan, you know, for me, the greatest relief outing of the entire weekend was watching Hansel Robles screw up a game for somebody else now that he's on the Angels. Way to go, Hansel. I wish you all the luck out there in Anaheim.
Oh, boy. All right, so let's get this ready for the week. The games start this evening. So I want to throw you, AJ, six names, and we'll quickly go through these just as to whether you'd start or sit them. There's some questions on the injuries here. We'll start with Chris Taylor and his tight left hamstring. He's missed three games in a row. Would you start or sit?
I'll sit. I mean, there's no reason for him to be playing for any stretch if he's not 100%. And, you know, I just wouldn't take the risk there.
I'm going to start him just because I feel the schedule is good. They're facing three lefties and some of the weak points of the Cubs rotation. A certain guy is off on paternity leave, so they're going to have a spot starter today.
I'm telling you, it's the start of big things in that family. Big, big things.
Yep, and the best part is I broke the rules there. I'm supposed to just give you the starter sit. Start for me. Travis Shaw, he's got an aggravated right wrist that he suffered on a swing. So he missed some time before, then aggravated again on Sunday.
And they're off today, so, you know, obviously not playing today, but wrists are a tricky thing. I think I'm going to sit him as well.
I'm going to sit him, too, if it's a standard mixed. I am. I'm with you, AJ. I'm worried. That timing because of the day off. Ronald Acuna Jr., so he's not back. This is not a guy who suffered an injury. He's recovering from one on a AAA rehab stint, 1-for-10 in AAA, the knee issue. We don't know that he's coming back at the start of the week, so would you chance starting him?
I would not, because of his age and the fact that he's the future of this organization, and you know, they might be very, very wary. So he's not expected to come back today, and if my lineup is locking today, then I cannot take the risk.
I'm going to take the chance just because I'm nuts. Caleb Smith!
I honestly don't think he's back before the weekend.
You don't think Acuna is? Okay. No, and I mean, yeah. You know, I could be entirely wrong here. These are just flipping a coin, effectively. I'm nuts. I'm starting him. Caleb Smith had left shoulder tightness, left his Sunday start. He'd have a one-start outing for this week. Let me see if I can get you that exact. I had that one right in front of me a second ago, and then I switched to another page. Friday against the Mets at home. Caleb Smith, start or sit?
Well, it's against the Mets, and you know, so that's certainly a great matchup. But no, you know, I am very concerned with the shoulder tightness here, and he's not a pitcher who, like, is matchup proof. So combine those things, I just can't take the chance. I really can't.
I'm sitting him. I don't think he makes the start. I think he's DL bound. Brandon Nimmo, bruised right pinky. He got hit by a pitch. I understand he got hit a couple of times. Only one of them really counted in this game. Would you start Brandon Nimmo?
Yeah, I'm going to start Brandon Nimmo. He's day to day, but, you know, the Mets don't have a lot of options out there. So, yeah. If Nimmo's healthy, he's out there. So, you know, maybe he'll get, like, tape his fingers together. But, yeah, I got no issues with Nimmo going in there.
Face the beleaguered Marlins staff and to the end of the week during this weekend. I'm with you. I'm starting him. Tyler Skaggs, hamstring injury. He's set now to return to the Angels rotation on Monday. It would align him for a two-start week at KC at Baltimore.
Yeah, given that it's two starts, and given I usually don't like to start a guy right off the DL, but or when you scratch for tightness of the hamstring, which is practically like a DL at that point with the 10-day. But yeah, those two matchups coming up, I think he's a must start this week. I think you got to take the risk considering how good the matchups are.
Agreed. I'm very happy he didn't get the Boston game on Tuesday on the road. He's getting the makeup game today, so I'm with you. Two start, good matchup. He's been very, very solid this year when healthy. I know there's a little question. I'm with you. Start with confidence. The games today, in fact, start at 3:10, so I guess that's not technically the evening. It's more like mid-afternoon-ish, but you got some time. Hopefully you're hearing this just before that. You get your lineups locked in. It's going to begin with an Oakland-Detroit game where we're going to get Edwin Jackson pitching for his 13th different team. But to me, the highlight on Monday is the ESPN Plus game, AJ. It's the Diamondbacks at the Marlins, and Shelby Miller makes his return from Tommy John surgery. Your thoughts on Miller? We're just starting for this game, and remember, it's a two-start week, so in weekly leagues, there's that.
There's no way that I start a pitcher just first start back from Tommy John. I'm sorry. That's just my personal take. I need to see it, and I know that teams are going to be very careful and, you know, make sure and vet and watch the rehab assignments and all that stuff. I'm still not personally. I need to see it on the mound because I just, you know, I always have these images of Dave Dravecki in my head, and I know it's not the same thing, but it's just like, I just want to see one game where the arm doesn't fall off. And therefore I'm thrilled that he's back. The fact that it's so soon, all things considered, you know, sometimes you can be out for a year and a half or 2 years. So, you know, the fact that this was an April diagnosis and now it's June and he's back. That's fantastic. So, all the positives. I hope he throws a shutout. I'm not starting him.
I'm skittish too. I'm not starting him unless I get some sort of heavy weight for two starts, which is often the case in some of my points.
And I'm really hoping he does well. And you know that gives Robbie Ray a little bit more time to mm-hmm. get another rehab assignment in, because if he goes down, they'll rush Robbie Ray back too.
Yeah, and I hope the Clay Buchholz injury is another day-to-day guy I didn't throw on that list. I hope that's not going to force Ray back a little quicker than he should. It's positive news for Miller. It's just I think this is more evaluation. And the forecaster, by the way, graded him beneath the league average in the projected game score for both. So this is only a volume play if you're using him. Tuesday's ESPN Plus game starts at 12:10 p.m. It's the Nationals at the Rays with Max Scherzer facing Nathan Eovaldi. And, Kyle, you're questioning Bryce Harper again? Really?
I'm not. I put on there the questions of the people on from Twitter and everything. Everybody's nervous about Bryce. They're nervous. He sees the dollar signs and he's struggling. What's going on? Is Bryce Harper elite still?
Pass the buck on it to the listeners.
Yeah, yes. Why not?
You know, it's fair. They're asking. AJ Harper. We brought him up last week on the show, but I'd love to get your perspective on Harper's season and expectations going forward.
Look, you know, to be upset with Bryce Harper's production is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Not everyone's Mike Trout, all right? Even Bryce Harper is not Mike Trout. Mike Trout is an anomaly, number one overall, and could be for another decade going forward. Harper's a top 25 hitter. Probably you're going to draft him in the first round just because of the upside. And it's okay, if he doesn't hit that upside, if he's still a locked for top 20 hitter, then what are you complaining about? It's just so amazing that anybody you drafted in the third round with these numbers, you'd be like, oh, wow, look at me. And, you know, because you might have drafted him earlier, you're going, oh, what a bust. It's preposterous. Temper your expectations, people.
Wednesday's ESPN Plus game is Pirates at Mets. It's Ivan Nova at Zach Wheeler. Would you stream each of these guys, AJ, or one or neither?
Well, it's at home for the Mets, so I'm probably going to steer clear of both. There's no way I touch any Mets pitchers right now except for Jake. He's the only pitcher, and he's not going to win. He could throw 12 shutout innings, and he's not going to win. It's just the way it's going for him
Ouch,
this year.
Pessimism.
I watch the games. Do you watch the games? I watch the games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no bullpen there. Zero bullpen. Look, that game's going to be 11-8, and so I want neither guy.
I don't blame you there. I'm not comfortable with either one. I'd probably lean to Nova if I had to, but
Well, yeah, me too, but still, yeah.
And finally, there's the three games that are going to be on ESPN each night here, the Cubs and Dodgers series, which I think there's some interesting pitching stories. So ESPN is going to have the Cubs at Dodgers game at 10 p.m. on Monday, which is Dwayne Underwood Jr. making a spot start against Kenta Maeda. On Tuesday at 10, it's the same series, but the pitchers being John Lester and Ross Stripling. And the Wednesday game, also at 10 p.m., very convenient, easy to remember, three games at 10 p.m. Eastern, is Kyle Hendricks versus Alex Wood. What one guy of those six stands out as the big-time fantasy play?
I think the big-time fantasy play here is actually going to be John Lester.
And that's a fine choice. 4-0 with an 0.67 ERA, 0.81 whip this month.
You know, not only that, I mean, but he, you know, you're going to get him right after the Dodgers face this unknown quantity in Underwood. And so there's such a difference in terms of something completely unknown. And then, you know, from that to Lester, I think there's a mindset that affects teams when there's, and especially if the Cubs end up winning the first game, I think that the Dodgers start pressing game two. So I think Lester is in prime, seven innings, one run, three hits kind of start there.
And I'm going to counter you this time and say that I gave the highest projected game score, and I'm confident in it, to Ross Stripling. I think Stripling is legit. I think he's top 30 capable. Kyle pointed out the number here, which is a good one, 26 strikeouts, zero walks in the month of June. Pretty impressive. And yeah, he faced the Cubs the last outing and barely qualified for the quality start, but I think this is an underrated guy. That's the game for me to watch, the two very exciting pitchers. Stripling, you in on Stripling going forward?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I have him as my number 30 starter going forward, which is, you know, number three, which is very respectable. I have Lester a little higher at 24, but, you know, still, yeah, I certainly would prefer him over Wood, for example, certainly over Maeda. So of the three pitchers going in these three games, he's the one that's probably going to do the best.
Today's Hash Browns are brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere. And with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats like I did most recently when I went to a Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs game, got some great bacon. Oh, yeah, and there was good baseball, too. So, you know, there's that. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I've heard this song somewhere before. What is it called? I do not know.
You think Eric would mind if we called while he was on vacation to ask him what the name of the song was?
He'd probably really appreciate it if we called him and just played the song for him.
I kind of like it.
Actually, if we called...
From Ipanema was walking the boom,
he's got the lyrics down. All right. I bet if we called Eric right now, this would be his hold music while he doesn't answer the call for us.
I love that. If only we were so lucky.
Yeah. He's not taking our calls this week. Come on, he's having bacon too out of the Iron Pigs game, probably.
And who could blame him? All right, so we got some questions, if you guys don't mind, from the Twitterverse here. Victor wants to know, who's a pitcher worth grabbing, either via trade or pickup, that's in a good spot to gain value moving forward for the rest of the season?
All right, who's up first here, AJ?
Well, you know, I think we've mentioned a couple of people. I think Robbie Ray is certainly someone who I've mentioned as someone who's going to come back at some point. And since his value right now is zero, certainly going to pick up value. We mentioned Clevinger. I think he's on that list. J.A. Happ and perhaps Eduardo Rodriguez are the guys who I think are on the rise.
Definitely agree on that. I'm a huge E-Rod fan. I really hope that If you can get him by trade, I'd be very, very pleased in doing that. The ones I'm encouraged by and think will improve a bit going forward, Jameson Taillon of the Pirates. I think a pretty good time to buy in here for him. Definitely somebody I would take a look at. I'm painfully still on that Luis Castillo bandwagon. I know we've talked so much about that velocity coming down. It's still pretty high, even with the recent issues. I do think that there's going to be some decent value in him going forward. And some better performance lately by Zach Godley. Godley, I mentioned a lot, but just because he's on a sim team of mine, so I know all about his history of high walk rates. You know, he gets a lot of double plays because of the high ground ball rate. Cal, you had a note on Godley in here, too, I think. Let me see. You probably have you've got it at your fingertips. I probably don't.
He's got consecutive quality starts. But he's still got 41 walks and just over 83 innings. So I'm with you there. I like Godley a lot. I think there's strikeouts to chase there, and I think there's a lot of potential, but if he doesn't, he's got to fix the walks. Like I've been burned by walks, as you might be aware.
Yeah, I have to dig into some of the zone rate numbers. I'll have to do a deep dive on Zach Godley.
You have to find out if he's the cream of the crop. Come on, where are my Godley and cream fans at?
He's laughing here. That went right over my head, but everybody else seems to understand. All right, we'll move on to, we'll go from pitching to hitting here. Taylor needs a source of cheap power here. He's struggling in the Roto League. Who's an overlooked guy that can give him both homers and RBI moving the rest of the way off the waiver wire?
Matt Olson. Period.
Book it.
Yes. I wrote him up in my most underrated players a week or two ago. I told everybody to trade from 3 or 4 weeks ago. I still don't think he gets enough credit. He's legit 30-plus homer power, I think, on the downside of it.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying there. I mean, a lot of people were down on Bellinger, thinking that he's not giving enough powers that, you know, that he had been. I think he's still good for 30 easy this season. And don't sleep on Kendrys. I mean, you know, he hit one yesterday, and he's been strong since he's come back. So I think a lot of people have forgotten about him.
I wonder if we have any sort of hard contact metrics, guys, Kyle?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a guy who might have not quite caught up with things. Olsen, I think, has certainly picked up the pace over the past month. Nicholas Castellanos has not hit for the power I expected so far, but the metrics still support that there's more pop in his bat.
Okay, so that's on the hitting side of things. Well, let's go back to some pitching. Eric, like so many managers these days, needs some cheap saves. He's trying to look ahead to the deadline. If you had to speculate on one guy that's going to walk his way into some more saves moving forward, maybe not in the role right now or just doesn't have a lot of saves because his team hasn't been very good, who do you think helps the most in the saves department?
You got a guy, AJ? I've got one if you don't.
You know, the guy I've been watching, because, you know, as we all know, Mr. Rodney is not exactly the most reliable. Well, he's reliable, but he's very stomach-turning in the process. But, you know, Trevor Hildenberger has been really good this year. I mean, the guy has not allowed an earned run since May 18th. I think that this is a guy who, if given the chance, could really hold down the job.
I like that pick. Most people are thinking it's Addison Reed as the next in line. Hildenberger's pitched very well this year. Definitely a good pickup. For me, it's the same division. Joe Jimenez. I think Shane Green's getting traded. And Joe Jimenez has pitched like a pitcher who is on the verge of taking over a closer job once one presents itself. Definitely a guy I would be stashing if I'm thinking about the trade candidate types who will open up a spot. That's one spot where I would pick up the stand-in, most definitely. The other one I'm keeping an eye on, I don't think he factors in as a closer just yet, but he's got the stuff that could do it, is Reyes Maranta, who we brought up last week for the Giants. Eric had pointed out that his player rater numbers for the year for the Giants graded very well. Throws nearly 97 on average with his fastball, throws a very good slider. They're both grading as very good pitches. Giants situation's up for grabs. AJ, who's your Giants guy for saves?
I mean, it's such a tough situation there. I don't really know, because is Melanson really just done? Is he going to get these chances continuously, or are they just trying to unload him on somebody else? I don't really know what's going on there. I think this could very well be a situation where you just, Monday it's Dyson, Tuesday it's Watson.
We don't want to hear that.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me at this point. There's so many possibilities, and no one really seems to want the job.
What else we got?
Actually, I'm going to go back to, you were asking for some hard hit percentage guys. I'm thinking Brian Anderson might be a little bit of a shot for home runs and RBIs for Taylor here. I mean, you're looking at a top 50 hard hit, right? He leads the league in hits this season with runners in scoring position. He's still available in over 35% of leagues. Like, he's not super available, but I think if he's out there or, cheap, I think he's a pretty good option there.
That could be an interesting launch angle kind of guy. I'll have to take a look at him. He's been hitting well. I know he's got the line drive stroke.
Yeah. No.
And the other thing with him is that, even if he doesn't hit the home runs, if you're playing in a points league or, a league where total bases matters, I mean, the doubles total is also very high. Whereas the home run total perhaps isn't as high as it could be. So maybe it's just a question of, taking that extra bite of cereal in the morning to get that ball from hitting the wall to going over it. But, always, I think, look to doubles and homers combined to kind of see where the power is coming from.
I'm going to have to see if I can dig up quickly. We can go on the next question. I'm going to try and dig up where he is in points in ESPN Standard Leagues. I'll bet he's pretty, to your point, AJ, he's pretty high on the list, I'll bet.
Well, AJ is a true professional leading us with that great intro here. Daniel's got a breakfast question. AJ's going with the cereal for a few more homers. Daniel wants to know, what are your opinions on sweet potato hash browns?
Sweet potato hash browns? I have never had that.
Nor have I, but I'm pro sweet potato. Those sound pretty good.
I would say that I yam undecided.
He yam undecided. Oh, boy.
I would say that I like the sweet potatoes, and I don't think I would like them as hash browns.
Interesting. All right, well, I'm going to try them at the next restaurant. He also had a baseball question, but Keith wants to weigh in on the sweet potato hash browns.
I was just going to, the way you were headed with that, Tristan, I was going to ask you, would you like them in a boat? Would you like them with a goat? anything. You were headed that way. So I
thought, oh, that would have been so good.
Because you're kind of saying, I'm not sure if I'd like them here. I'd like them here or there.
There, yeah.
So. No, Keith, I am. I will not eat them in a train, and I will not eat them in a plane.
Would you eat them in the rain
or in pain?
All right, I'm sorry. As you
I will not eat them in a boat, and I will not eat them with Jonathan Scope.
There you go.
I know. I always ruin this, so go ahead.
Sweet potato hash browns are delicious, by the way.
There we go. Confirmed.
Oh, see? Ant knows.
Okay. I'll try him. I'll give him a shot.
All right. So Daniel helped us there. Let's help him with a baseball question. He has thoughts on the strategy of stacking closers and middle relievers in a standard ESPN head-to-head 10-teamer. Would you do it, basically punting wins in that case?
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, as long as you've made your calculations that you think you can win ERA, whip, and saves and strikeouts, by all means, I'm fine with punting wins. You can often fall into them with relief pitchers, so you could pick up a category right there. I've pointed out, too, I think there's, with the multi-inning relievers, I think there's a definitive value to that. I would say in response to this is that if there's a cap in your league, which I don't believe the standard roto head-to-head has, if there's a cap on starts, I think this is a better strategy in that kind of league.
Yeah, I mean, my take on this in points leagues is that it's my preferred strategy is to go closers and relievers. So in terms of factoring in whether or not you have enough counting stats in a head-to-head category, I think it depends on your league, certainly, and you have to measure that for yourself. It's not like in points leagues where it's one number fits all. So I haven't done the analysis on that, but if you pick the right closers and you're getting the volume, then I think you can certainly get the two categories at least, in terms of, like you said, the ERA and the WHIP.
I'm so geeky here. I could do an entire Tampa Bay Rays pitching staff strategy podcast on this thing. We probably have better questions to get to than that.
I mean, they've pieced their staff kind of like how Daniel's trying to piece his together. All right, our last question for the day. Derek wants to know if Carlos Martinez is ever going to remember how to pitch in 2018. Very simple.
Yeah, he sure doesn't seem like he knows how to pitch. The walk rate right now is 14%. That's the highest he's had at any professional stop in his career, which spans 9 years. Something is amiss here. The velocity's down. That's really bothersome to me. It's more than 2 miles per hour down on average this year compared to any other year previously in his career. Well, one of them was just a hair under two. It was like 1.9 and a fraction. I want to believe in this guy. I've been a big Carlos Martinez fan for years, but something's up, and I'm going to move him down in my ranks. I think it's going to be 10 spots easily, maybe more.
And where would that put him approximately?
He's probably not going to be top 35 even. I mean, traditionally he was top 20. He was barely top 30 in the last set, if I recall.
I've already moved him to 40. And, you know, again, it's all about strikeout to walk ratio. And when, you know, if you're averaging 6 walks per month practically that's insane. He's not even pitching deep into games. Oof. It's been ugly. It's been absolutely ugly, and there's no way you can count on him anytime soon. It's going to take a lot of correction there before, in a points league, he can be trusted. I wouldn't cut him because there is so much upside potential there, and we are talking about a guy whose ERA was under 2 at the start of this month. So, but it can disappear quickly. It's amazing how fast someone can lose it.
Yeah, if something's amiss, you know, often these end up with the 10-day DL stint where you just get the guy off the field in order to just get some rest and work on things. So maybe that's what happens. I don't know. But, AJ, to your point, too, I didn't mention the slider. Terrible. Terrible this year. Something's up. Anyway. I wonder if we end on a down note. Okay, so we're not. I'm going to give a final thought here. I want to throw just this note on the week ahead. Seattle Mariners. AJ, you saw this terrible week this past week. They're on an East Coast swing where they're going to New York, Boston, and Baltimore. I think this week they're going to do an awful lot better. They lost 5 of their first 6 games on this trip, got outscored by 18 runs. But they do play 4 in Baltimore this week, then 3 back home against the Royals. And those teams, so I'll tell you, they are not doing well on offense. So I'm a Felix Hernandez 2-start guy. AJ, your final thought.
My final thought, I mean, you know, our Leo's not here today, but... I got to say, I picked the Rays to make the wild card, and I'm still standing by that. I think they're one of the most interesting teams to watch. They're one of the most fun teams to watch. I'm not even a fan, yet I end up always turning on their games, and I think this winning streak is going to continue for the rest of the week.
Wow. That is a quality final thought. Okay.
And look who they're playing. They got a Scherzer game in there, too, but I just think that the ball is rolling. Maybe they lose that one, but I think they win everything else this week.
All right. If Evaldi beats Scherzer, then I'm getting you the plate of sweet potato hash browns. All right. We'll make the deal there. I'm going to make sure this happens. All right. Yeah. You know, big spender here. I'll get that taken care of for you.
All right. Great.
The good news is AJ's back with great more final thoughts here, Real Bold Takes, on Thursday's show. AJ, thank you today. Thanks, of course, to Keith Lipscomb, to Kyle Soppy, and, of course, to Anthony Calatayud behind the glass. That's the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast for Monday. We'll see you next time.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.